Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
Whoa-wee.
Whoa-wee, mate.
Just on a really smelly fart.
Okay, all right, no need to.
It's really soured the mood.
It's really soured the atmosphere. Dear.
You know, every so often you do one that doesn't smell like your own.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you sure it's you?
Oh my God, the fart was coming from inside the house.
Well, no, that is you.
Oh, yeah, then it is me. Yeah.
If the phone call's coming from inside the house, it's worrying. But if the fart's coming from outside the house, then it's really worrying.
Oh.
That would be a great line in a horror movie. The fart was coming from outside the house. Oh, my God, can you smell that?
Well, Tom, when they make Scary Movie 17, I'm sure they'll call you, first of all, to do punch up on it.
I haven't farted. The fart was coming from outside the house. And then some guy, I don't know what, shits himself on the doorstep. Anyway, we'll work.
anyway,
welcome to House Meeting.
Welcome, everybody. Yes, indeed.
You know what House Meetings are by now. It's where the three of us, Matthew, Ben and Tom, get together, chew the fat, throw it around, see what comes out the other end.
No, we're not seeing what comes. We know what comes out the other end, Tom, because we've just recorded an episode and you've done some of the most... I mean, this is one of the only things I enjoy about the fact it's on Zoom. I miss the camaraderie of us all being in the same room, but I do not miss the smell-o-vision of being in the same room.
The noxious gases.
When we're on Zoom, though, we have camaraderie. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, lovely,
I know what you mean, yeah.
Lovely bit of camaraderie.
Well, if you enjoyed that sort of thing, then you're going to love this episode, folks. All that remains to be said is don't forget that we have a Patreon where you can get bonus episodes every single week, bonus beefs, bonus episodes of our Pappy's Flatshare Pop Round. And you can also get a load of bonus audio and the jingle as a single from our Flatshare Slamdowns. So it's well worth getting to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare and joining up today. Also, if you're going to be at the Latitude Festival...
What?
We are going to be performing... This is never good when news like this is news to parry.
You're going to Latitude.
You do know this is happening, right, man? The Latitude Festival is happening this month.
Whoa, baby.
On the weekend of the 21st, 22nd and 23rd of July. And we will be performing there.
This July?
Yeah, July 2023, man. Yeah.
Whoa,
get your little academic diary out.
Okay.
Shuffle towards nearly the end, middle of the summer holidays.
July, mate, July's at the start, buddy.
Woo. Is it starting in July?
Yeah,
A brand new calendar.
Starts in July. Well,
you know what? If you'd like to start the year off strong, then come and see Pappy's Flatshare. Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown live at the Latitude Festival. We always have a great time at the Latitude Festival. Really excited about performing again. I don't know exactly what time we're on. Hello, Matthew here with an update on exactly when we're performing at the Latitude Festival. We can exclusively reveal that it is Saturday night. Now, we don't know if it's 8 o'clock or 9:15. We've been told two different bits of information, but we definitely know it's Saturday night. So that's when you'll be able to see us. I would say go to our socials closer to the event. That will tell you exactly when we're performing. We'll put that up on our Twitter, on our Instagram. I'll put it up on my Threads, which I'm very much enjoying. And you'll find that information there. But it is definitely the Saturday night, and it is at the Listening Post. I don't know why we thought it was the Outpost. We got bad information there, but it is the Listening Post, and it's Saturday night, and it's probably 8 o'clock. We will see you there. Now back to the regularly scheduled episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
See if we have an exciting guest captain. We'll find out.
Yeah, see if it's just going to be me and Clarky. No guests.
Wandering around the field.
It's about time producer Emma and producer Gwyn started pulling their weight and getting up on stage and taking part in the games as well. That's what I say.
The producer special.
Yeah. The producer special. That's what we're calling it. Yeah.
No, of course. Of course we'll all be there. And not only that, we'll be there with bells on. I'm very much looking forward to returning to Latitude. Well,
you're right, Tom. You've done it without. I tell you what. Next time you say you're excited about going somewhere, do it without yawning. That might be the way to do it.
I've got very little oxygen in this shed.
For reasons why I've just explained.
Crack
a window for goodness sake, rather than passing out from a 40-minute podcast recording.
We'll be there, absolutely lording it up in the podcast arena.
It's called The Outpost this year. It was called The Listening Post in previous years. Now it's called The Outpost, which makes you think a little bit of an outhouse. It makes you think that you're going to be
smell like one, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. If you would like to smell what the parry is cooking, then get yourself a front row hay bale for The Outpost at some point over the Latitude weekend. Probably
pray that it's not the Sunday. Pray that it's not the Sunday. Because that's when the chickens come home to roost, shall we say.
Okay.
The old festival lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, have a wonderful listen to this episode. We had a wonderful time recording it. And we'll see you on the other side.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
So, I don't know if you remember this, but at Josh Widdicombe's wedding, he gave a bit of advice from his dad in his speech.
Yeah.
And do you remember what the advice was? I think about it all the time.
Yeah, I do. I think about it all the time as well.
I do, yeah. Bitches ain't shit. I just thought, just thought it was quite a big call for the wedding.
It's a weird moment to bring it up, yeah.
Fair play, you know, I don't know.
We can't stress enough. That's neither the opinion of Josh Widdicombe or his dad, or in fact, any of the three of us.
That we know of.
That we know of, exactly.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
Oh, Tom, you popped a hat on.
This is
unbelievable. Wait, sorry.
Hang on. It's not that unbelievable that I pop a hat on.
No, but it is to be halfway through, the intro to an episode and you reach out of shot. It looked like you were yawning. But then when you came back, one of your hands had a bucket hat in. Can I ask, is there a costume dresser just out of shot on your Zoom?
Always, with
a variety of different...
The ring light team. The ring light team, yeah, there's seven people there.
Oh my goodness, where did that pipe come from? I can't believe this.
This is like a one-man episode of Guess Who.
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you're going to say about this advice, because I do think about it as well.
Yeah.
To the point where I assume my child will make a similar speech at their wedding because I'll have passed it on to them.
You're going to say it to them, yeah. So the advice is you lose $1,000 a year to being an idiot.
Yes.
So every year you are going to, and it's not necessarily like you're going to do an idiotic thing that's going to cost you $1,000. It's accumulated over a 12-month period. You're going to lose some money that's going to add up to $1,000.
That's really interesting to hear, because in my head I go with $2,000. I thought $2,000.
I was going to say I'm struggling to keep it down to $1,000.
I remember it as $2,000, which is clearly my brain going,
great.
Gotta have a bit of wiggle room on the old idiot tax.
Speaking of which, guys, I've just realised I've left something on the hob. Do you mind if I just run off and deal with that?
Is it two grand?
It's a bucket hat.
It's his gold-plated bucket hat. And that's just going to... I mean, the good thing about it is it'll only smelt down. He doesn't lose his value.
He spent £2,000. Yeah.
So you think it's $2,000? Well, I mean, I guess...
Yeah.
Think about it. When he got that advice from his father, it was a while ago, right? It was presumably as he was a child. He didn't say it to him a couple of seconds before the wedding.
Mm.
So, if we say, you know, Josh is 40, are we allowed to say that? Are we allowed to reveal his age? But anyway, yeah. So we're talking 20 plus years ago. I think maybe it's gone up. Maybe we need to. Maybe we do need to adjust for inflation, especially
now. I feel much more comfortable with $2,000.
Yeah.
A year.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I need that, actually.
Can I just ask, is that the bucket hat that cost you 1,500 quid? Yeah, I mean. Then I understand why you're more comfortable with $2,000.
It was very very heartening to hear those words as well, because the day before, my partner and I arrived in our hotel room.
Yes.
And I had jumped up to swing on what I thought was a door frame and was a plaster of Paris ledge, and just completely pulled the plaster of Paris ledge down onto me, and we got charged 500 quid for it.
Oh, oh no!
Yeah.
I didn't know it was 500 quid. Oh, of course. No, no wonder. You can't do 6 months' work in a day, can you? You've got to at least make that the quarter.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I operate on too large.
Can I ask, Tom, is the doorframe manoeuvre a regular thing? Because I'm a small person. I wouldn't trust the doorframe I didn't know.
I never will again, put it that way. That's the other bit of advice that my child will say on their wedding day, is $2,000 a year and never trust a doorframe that you don't know.
I feel like these are things we need to be writing down, right? We need to be keeping like life advice. This is what we need. Life advice, I don't know if we're the people to be giving it, but I think that's two good bits of advice right there that we've accrued.
In a way, I think we're the perfect people, because you don't want someone who's really got their life together. You want someone who's like really made a lot of mistakes.
This is it. Yeah. When you see the people who, when you see the people who are like in their 20s on Instagram, sitting on the bonnet of an expensive sports car, you know, fanning themselves with a load of notes, you think, well, it's too late for me to emulate your life.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen. That's not in it. And it doesn't matter how much I stand up straight with my shoulders back and, you know, do pull-ups. Obviously, pull-ups is a bad move because it might involve a door frame.
Stay clear of the pull-ups.
Two very conflicting pieces of information going on there.
I've just done some very expensive pull-downs.
But yeah.
So you're saying the advice best to take is don't be like me rather than be like me.
Don't be like the me of the past.
Or the me of the present. But the jury's out on future.
Yeah. No, it's more the me of the present, isn't it? Like, if Clarkie's saying, don't do this, because I've just done it.
Basically. Well, yeah. I don't think the advice could come as you're lying in a pile of plaster with the guy who just carried your bags in. Yeah, yeah. Sort of going cough up. Oh man. Yeah. No, the only reason I think of this is because I was going to say I might have to up it a bit because of having kids. I feel like the kind of the general damage to the house is greatly increased. Right. The thing that I thought of, the reason I thought of this was finally after my phone was just like, it was giving up the ghost. I thought, I'm going to finally get a brand new phone. Now, like the old phone, I always think you just want to cling onto a phone as long as possible. You know what I did with my old laptop? And I worked out it cost me 18p a day, my laptop. I was so delighted when I managed to get a laptop that was 18p a day. And I sort of feel that with phones as well. They're very expensive. You think you can cling onto them as long as possible. That's great. But this phone was constantly telling me that I had run out of storage space. It was overheating really, really bad. But it was, apart from that, it was still, you know, it's still a functional, it looked like a good phone. So
it looked like a good
phone. The snake was flawless on it. You'd still play it. So I called up to replace the phone and they said, oh, if you want, you can replace your phone by sending us your old phone and we'll knock off £6 a month for the first 2 years off your bill. And I was like, that's a great deal. £6 a month for 2 years? Absolutely. Sign me up. So I said, yes, please. Thank you very much. I'd love that. And as they were taking payment for it, there was some sort of problem with their system. And they said, we're going to have to call you back tomorrow. I said, fine, don't worry about it. Call me back tomorrow. Anyway, went downstairs to make the dinner. And my daughter grabbed my phone and threw it onto a concrete floor. The same day it happened.
Oh, wow.
And it cracked the back of the phone and the camera. Now, the reason it wasn't in its case, the protective case, was because my other daughter had taken the protective case off a couple of days previously and snapped it in half. So
They're working as a team. Clever girl.
So anyway, I get a phone call from the phone company a couple of days later, and they say, you're still all right for us to put through the deal you wanted to go for? And I said, well, every bit of the deal, apart from I can't send you my phone, it's smashed. And so we had to go through all the process again, I basically had to reapply. But immediately I was thinking, well, that's like, what is it, about over 2 years, about 150, 160 quid, something like that. Straight away, I saw it as it was happening. Gone. It just disappeared immediately. And you have to, in that moment, just go, well, look, the money was never mine. I'm not going to have to spend it. I mean, I have to spend extra money, but I'm not going to have to pay to replace my phone. Well, I am going to have to pay to replace my phone. I'm going to say, in my head, it was all so perfect. It all worked out. But,
mate, you're losing money as you speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe if I do all the banking inside my own brain and don't say any of it out loud, it will seem a lot worse than it actually is.
Oh.
But yeah, that was where I was. And I was thinking, you know, there's every chance I've dropped phones in the past. I could have dropped it myself, but, you know, I probably wouldn't have done.
Yeah, I doubt you would have taken the cover off, snapped it, and then dropped it on the floor.
I would have taken the cover off, broke it in two, and then, you know, whacked it into a concrete floor. No, that wouldn't have been my MO.
Maybe we can put in our life advice.
That's
book.
Our third piece of advice.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Going up.
It's not a bad piece of advice.
Who isn't designing a rubber phone?
This is it.
Like, I'm buying a rubber phone, I'm buying a rubber car.
Yeah.
If I scrape my car for the first time, this car, not previous cars. And I just thought, if I had a rubber car, it's absolutely mad that we design cars.
Like a rubber, you'd just be erasing a little bit of the corner of your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just totally
just
fine.
A nice bit of colourful rubber. And then when you nudge against the wall, it goes boing. You know, when you nudge against another car, it goes boing. When you drop your phone, it goes boing. It's insane that we don't apply the same rule as when we make balls to when we make things like
why
that.
Why has rubber got the well, in fact, I can tell you now, and I had some dealings with rubber, not in an exciting, sexy way.
Big rubber.
I had some dealings with rubber the other day. And again, it adds up to more money. We've got the builders in at the moment. They're doing a lot of work. And
you want them to be wearing rubber?
I've asked that they wear...
What, they bag up?
I have asked they dress like they're at a fetish party. Is that so? I mean, they're holding power tools. Why can't they look like they're at the torture garden?
They're on your property. You're paying them to be there.
How's my rules?
Some say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They've seen fair. I'm wearing a full scuba outfit. At least they could do is join me in that.
Do you know what I like about that as an idea? What? Is, you know,
your
we often
idea.
Talk
about.
Yeah. You know what we often talk about in terms of the. I don't know, the status shift in your own house when you've got work people in. And we've talked about that a lot and everyone experiences it. If you get to decide their dress code, then I don't think that would... I think we'd be able to eradicate that problem. And I don't think it's much to ask. Say,
just come in, pop this on at the door kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you do it beforehand in kind of like, please arrive wearing.
Right.
You know? And then you wouldn't feel so intimidated, I don't think, in your own house.
Well, it depends what you've got them to wear.
Well, a Minions outfit, of course.
What would your dream scenario be, though? If you had some builders who were going to come in and do a fortnight's worth of work, what would you like them
Smart casual. Smart casual, as if they're coming round to hang out, and then you can just treat them like they're pals.
Can you please, and this is a real sticking point for me, smart casual always throws me for an absolute loop. Whenever that's the dress code, when everyone says it, I'm like, what am I wearing for smart casual?
No jeans.
Right.
And a collar. That's what I'm going with.
Wait, I'm just imagining like a Chippendale now.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's Magic Mike Live you described there, Tom. That's not... I don't think and no jeans in a collar and rubber up, mate.
House meeting.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I think if you were wearing jeans, sports jacket and a Fred Perry shirt, that's smart casual. So I don't think no jeans is a hard and fast rule. You wear a smart pair of dark blue jeans and a pair of loafers. I mean, you'll be dressed like a twat, but you're just smart casual.
Yeah, but Fred Perry's shirt's got a collar on it, right? That's what...
Oh, yeah, but it does.
So the jeans thing.
And I agree with that bit, but the thing I said was I'm not sure about the no jeans thing, because I think the jeans with the smart rest of the outfit.
Yeah, but I think you've just got to take... You've got to take that the risk of bad jeans out of the equation. I understand that good jeans can be smart in the right way, but I think by saying no jeans, you send out a message. So
I would say you're getting into the realm of smart.
Yes, exactly. Smart, casual. So like you have to have one foot in each.
So are you saying smart is in capitals and casual is in lowercase?
But smart
one
comes
smaller.
First, doesn't it? It's smart casual, not casual smart. If it's casual smart, I'd say you can wear jeans.
But casual smart isn't a thing, I don't think.
Well.
I would say, isn't smart describing the form of casual, though? So it's casual, but smart casual.
Oh.
Very interesting, yes. Smart casual. Yeah. But I
don't know the answer. We're trying to pick it apart in order to understand it better.
No, I know. I think that's a strong lead, though. But I would say that if you say no jeans, it's the golf route, isn't it? Like golf makes that step, and it works because you're into trousers.
But isn't the golf thing that it's quite hard to play golf in jeans? Isn't the golf reasoning that it's flexibility, or is it a smart? Is it they want people looking good in the clubhouse?
Yeah, it's that. It's not. They're not worried about you.
They're never worried.
They don't care about the sport. They care about the appearance.
Yeah. Otherwise you'd wear tracky bottoms, wouldn't you? Everyone would be turning up in tracksuits.
That's true.
Oh, and you're not allowed to wear tracksuits. You can't golf in a tracksuit.
No way.
Never. No way. No how.
Sin. And the fourth bit of advice that we're giving.
Let's go through our list now. You lose $2,000 a year. Never trust a door frame.
Can we up it from $2,000? Is there any way?
Let's
in order to subscribe to these rules, it's going to cost you £2,000 a year.
Oh.
We're not going to give away all the rules. You've got to get the final rules, you have to send us the money. You have to join our Patreon, the highest tier, the rules tier. Well, £2,000 a year.
Making that sound more appealing.
Yeah. The other thing is never golf in a tracksuit.
What about for £6,000 a year, the no rules tier?
Whoa, you can golf in a tracksuit.
You can listen in a trackie. No problem.
I love the idea of that. That the haughty manager of the golf course is like, you know, in his little golf buggy, like across the course, going, hey you, you know, and see someone dressed like they're, you know, Elton John on a civvies day, and then our listener reaches into their pocket, pulls out their gold card, and goes, ding. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. You know,
I didn't realize he's all you were
like
no
second
rules.
Trip to the boutique in Pretty Woman. He's like, you know, my apologies. Anything you want, sir.
The big mistake, huge tier.
It's a mistake, yeah.
It's not, that's pretty accurate with the way life is, though, isn't it? It's like if you get to a certain level of wealthy where you don't have to look good because everyone knows you're wealthy enough, and then you just go around looking like shit and it's fine. Yeah. So there's like the people who want
that's
to be
the state we're at.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know if you know, but we were born incredibly wealthy.
There's like,
you see old publicity photos. It's not because we've got no idea how to dress and no one ever told us not to wear those clothes. It's because we're so fucking rich. Didn't matter.
Like these people have never really had to care what they look like. It's quite often the case where there are some people where you'd be like, they're wearing a ripped T-shirt that's like fucking 40 years old and they look,
I'm feeling very,
they look terrible. And then you kind of go, okay, you're extremely wealthy and it's fine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to get chucked out the hotel like that.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then if we go to like a half decent restaurant or a half decent hotel, you kind of shit yourself, dress like you're going to a wedding,
feel uncomfortable,
sat there, and then like some rich
sweating
people
through your
come
Burton
in
suit.
Wearing
yeah,
a pair
absolutely.
Of fucking Speedos and just sit there and just be like,
it's smart cash, of course.
What,
it's got a collar on.
Like, oh, God,
listen,
oh,
the reason
God.
We're wearing Speedos is we're here to rewire the place, and it's the guy who booked us has ordered us to wear these.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do then, Tom. This is the new system of influencer. So forget all the people who are dolled up, you know, like all people who are dolled up in their finest clothes and sat on the bonnet of cars. What we need to do is dress as badly as possible, sit on a rubber car that's up on rubber bricks, and begin the new tier of aspiration. I think this is a good idea.
Rubber bricks is exactly, just to jump back, the exact model that phone makers should be using. The rubber brick from swimming, they should start there.
And while you're at it, make the phones waterproof as well, so you wouldn't lose your mind every time you dropped it down the toilet.
Because those rubber bricks were fucking great. Like, the fun you could have, like, with a rubber brick when you're on the side and you're boinging it around and sliding it about.
Yeah, it's great.
Fantastic.
I think fantastic. That I still get a real thrill when I think about, did you have to, when you did like a proficiency test for rescue in swimming lessons, like that kind of thing, like going down to the bottom and retrieving the rubber brick was part of it. But we had to do a thing where we had to bring our pyjamas and put our pyjamas on and swim to the bottom in our pyjamas, because, you know, to see if you could do it wearing your clothes. And I can't remember anything more exciting in the whole of my childhood than the idea of getting to swim in your pyjamas down to the bottom to pick up a rubber brick. It was so thrilling.
And
I
you felt like
it.
Bear Grylls. You were like, I'm ready now to take on the world.
I never got to do it.
You but never got to do
this,
it?
I will say this. Proficiency in my yard, that was only ever cycling.
Yeah,
the only ever time anyone talked about being proficient was in cycling, and it feels like you couldn't be proficient in anything else.
No, I think it was a badge that you would sew onto your trunks. So you'd have your 5 metre, 10 metre, 20 metre, whatever, and then you'd also have
bronze survival. It was for that's what it was.
I was going to say lifesavers badge, but yeah, I think survival badge, yeah. Bronze survival badge. Clarky, how come you never got to do it?
Well, I'd done my first three badges. I was up to green, and then pink was you had to swim half a mile. I struggled. They pulled me out and put me in the bottom group. Well, there were only two groups. I was basically in a group with people who couldn't swim then. So I just, that was it then. I just couldn't.
Half a mile's a long way to go to, like, you know, if you got most of the way or some of the way.
Yeah.
Why are they taking you out of
the group?
Well,
I'll tell you what they did as well.
You could have just had a big sandwich or something.
Yeah, I believe so. And we were just doing like, we had the top end, the deep end of the pool, and we were just doing like laps around.
Little circuits,
And the teacher stopped me, and I put my hand on the side, and she went, oh, you put your hand on the side, you have to go down to the other group.
Come on, though.
And I was like, but you told me to stop. He says, yeah, you should have trod water. You put your hand on the side. Half of me thinks maybe she was like, he needs to come out.
Yeah, but then surely do it with a bit more kindness then. Nah. Yeah. Yeah. So that's nearly
it's 800 metres.
804 metres, yeah. Just looked it up.
Big.
It's a long way to go. To get the what was the pink one?
I think that was it. I think pink was half a mile.
No.
I don't think we're into the realms of there. I think we're talking 100
miles. It was
I think we're surely. dealing in meters. I think
half a meter.
Yeah, but what could it have been?
I don't think it'd have been 800 meters.
It's quite a long way to do in a pool. But I mean,
the first one's 5 meters, right? So the first badge is 5 meters.
There's not enough room on the speedos.
It's a big leap. It's a big
leap. You're wearing patchwork quilts.
It's a big leap up to 800.
I'd done the first three badges.
Yeah, five meters. You think?
No. So, no, the first three lifesavers badges. The first three survival badges. Not the first three distances. It wasn't 5 meters, 10 meters, half a mile. This poor 6-year-old. So. Oh, you touched the side. Yeah, I'd say so, mate.
I could have sworn it was.
I should be getting out, cycling a bike and firing a gun in a second.
Had you leapt into triathlon? A triathlete by class?
No wonder they were trying to get me out.
You joined the wrong class.
I think you're dealing with 5 meters, then 10 meters, then you might be going to 50 meters.
Yeah,
at a leap.
But then, what's the survival badge? The survival badge wasn't meters, was it? It was all a bunch of different things you had to do, like make a flotation device out of your pajama. It was quite a lot for my class. Pajama
tread water,
tread water for a bit. Take your pajama top off or your pajama bottoms off or whatever, and turn them into like a sort of flotation. stop wearing your pajamas to school. Like turn them into a flotation device that you could then float on. That was always quite tricky because it's impossible.
So
a pair of wet trousers.
The difficult thing with that is it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. You can't do it.
Do you want to know?
No one has ever been drowning and said, throw me a pair of wet trousers, I'll turn them into a flotation device. They've always said, throw me a flotation device.
I'd tell you what, I've been trying to blow up these trousers for the last 40 minutes.
I puff into one leg, it comes out the other leg. I puff into the top, it comes out both legs.
Oh, I left the fly open.
I tell you what, every single pair of my trousers has a slow puncture as well, right in the crotch. Let me tell you that now.
Yeah. These aren't smart cash.
No, there's nothing smart cash about any of my trousers anymore.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and this is a little appeal for you to send us some of your beefs. You know and you love the episodes we do with our guests called Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, where we solve problems that people might have in their flat share situation. Well, you, the listener dear, could be a part of that. Tom, tell them how.
We've all got very small niggles that happen with the people we live with, be them housemates, family members, neighbours. We also have the free range beef settlement, where it doesn't have to be linked to your home. It might be in the workplace, someone you come up against, and on the, maybe even a system that you want to bring down. We'll do that for you.
Rage against the beef.
So get in touch and send them in to
beef with Big Pharma.
we can try and sort it for you.
We're the guys to tackle it, sure.
I think it's about time we get ambitious about things like that.
Absolutely.
So get in touch at the following emails, Ben.
At Pappies.
No, email ever starts with
ass. No. Well out from the start. Hashtag.
No, it's not that. It's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. You can also email us at pappiesflatshare@gmail.com for all your other needs. But beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com is where you send your beefs. And remember, if you're a Patreon member and you put beef priority in the title, the subject line of the beef, you will definitely get it read out on an episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Woo. So don't delay. Beef today.
House meeting. Beating.
Cold rain or hot snow? What is sleeting?
House meeting.
800 metres is your silver survival award.
There we go. There we go. He could have been doing a silver survival award.
I don't think so, because I don't think I did my bronze.
Your bronze is 400.
400 metres?
Yeah.
Was it that they said, okay, to get your pink badge, you've got to swim like half a length? And you were like, fuck you guys, I'm doing half a mile. And you started really going for it. Really going for it.
Bring him in,
crawl.
Bring him in.
And they were like, someone's going to get a big stick and pull him out of the water, because... He's showing off in front of the girls again.
Hit him with the brick.
Take him down with the brick, and then send one of our stronger swimmers to fish him off the bottom of the pool, holding the brick.
It did certainly feel like swimming was going to be more necessary the way you go at it as a kid.
Yes, that's true. But it is. Like it's a great
skill
to have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing it down. It is a good skill to have. I'm not dicking on it, but...
No. Not dicking on swimming.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I wouldn't do that to you or the swimming community.
You know, I love my swimming.
But it certainly felt like there'd be a little bit more riding on it, I guess.
Riding on what? What are you planning on riding on? Because if you're doing it on a dolphin's back, I'm afraid it doesn't matter if you do 104 metres, you're not getting yourself a survival badge. You get another badge, the Dr. Dolittle badge.
Trying to inflate my trousers on its blowhole.
Yeah. I freed Willie. Where's my badge? I think in terms of the amount of badges that were flying around and shit like that, it was all about swimming, wasn't it? Everyone had them on their bags and on their, but I actually think cycling might be better. So they should have gone more for cycling.
Yeah, day in, day out, like, you know, you commute, you're more likely to cycle it than swim it.
That's a good point, yeah. Very
Who's
few
swimming
people.
To work? He's dead right.
Who's swimming to work?
Get in touch.
Yeah, please do get in touch, pappiesflatshare@gmail.com. Do you have to swim to get to work?
And no one's going, oh, if only we swam more, then it'd be better for the planet. Like, no one's going, oh, do some more swimming.
Crucially, it's you know, it's slow.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It's indulgent, if anything. It's just a hobby, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a place where really we've no business being.
It's indulgent.
There must be some people who have to swim for a living, right? Some part of their job. Like a marine biologist, you know.
Do they?
Has to do a bit of... Surely they've got to get down there. All right, what about this?
Only on a boat?
Yeah, but not for the whole thing. Surely they're getting into the tank and going down for a bit, surely.
It's cards on the table. I don't really know what they're up to. If you were to ask me what their day looked like, I wouldn't know.
But equally, I was just saying they get in a tank and they get lowered down. That's not swimming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pull on the old pipe. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know what they do in their lunch break, but I tell you
the
what.
Fishes aren't going to tell, are they?
The sight of that manta ray absolutely gets me where it's pure. I'm not going to lie to you.
And also, the amount of people becoming marine biologists is disproportionate to the amount of people who are piling on the old swimming tip at the start of their fucking life.
It's,
do you know what
so
I mean?
True. It's so true. Like in America, they have driver's ed, don't they? They do a driver's ed at school, and you think that is the thing. I mean, I know, again, not great for the planet, but that's the thing you should be learning, right? Surely there should be a driver's ed thing rather than, oh, you've got to learn how to swim.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I went to school in Bromley. It's landlocked.
Yeah. I think the main thing is just like, here's like, it's like not dying.
Here's how not to die.
Yeah. I think that's the main thing for swimming, isn't it?
Wait, the planet is dangerously overpopulated.
Get to the side is all you need to be able to do.
Yeah,
it?
That's it. Which I could.
And unluckily for you, that pool was half a mile long, wasn't it? And you'd fallen out of a helicopter straight into the middle of it. You got all the way to the side and then he bopped you on the end with a rubber brick and put you down a creep.
You did 803 metres there.
We should say this is when you were training to be a Navy Marine, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
It was quite intense back then. Well, you have to sleep in tents and then swim in the morning.
Yeah. That's all good stuff there.
You know what, I'll tell you what it should be now. It should be training with kids on how to hail an Uber or how to work like car clubs and stuff like that, because I've had real trouble in the last 6 months. I used to have really good. It used to be like a thing you could just do, get an Uber. Now it feels like you need to be.
Educated. Tom, I think it's amazing that you're blaming yourself rather than Uber as a company. But I would say it's not your fault. In this
Thank
instance,
you.
I'm happy to
apology
say
apology accepted.
It's not your apology.
You're welcome.
It's not. This is not your fault. Uber is an absolute nightmare as well. And you're talking about being in London rather than being in Exeter.
Yeah, I mean, what you should be doing is it should be like how to get home proficiency.
Yeah.
So what they should be doing is spinning kids round in the middle of a playground, blindfolding them, giving them a phone with 2% on it, giving them a postcode, and being like, "You got to get yourself there. And you got to get some food along the way.
And also, you're hammered."
Yeah, exactly. But we'd kind of replicate that, you know, with a bit, like maybe with a lot of sugar.
Spin them around the bunch or something.
Exactly, spinning them around and giving them a bit of sugar. And maybe tying their shoelaces together. So they don't know.
So your system is a sort of weird.
Pissing in their trousers.
A weird sort of thing of like bullying them.
That's kind of what being drunk is, though, isn't it? It's kind of bullying yourself.
We're going to give you a purple nurple. We're going to give you a wet willy. And then we're going to put you out into the middle of a field and say, get yourself home.
Yeah. I mean, will you wake up hungover?
Three-legged and maybe would be the one. Like,
this feels like the sort of thing they do in scouts.
Spin them round, three-legged them, give them a compass. That's the kind of stuff that's going to stand you in good. At no point do you say this is practice for when you're hammered as an adult.
Yeah, but
of course.
It's gonna do you better than being able to pick up a brick in your pyjamas in water.
Can I ask you, Tom, when you are stuck in the centre of London, are you getting the compass out?
Well, no, but look, it's like it's the equivalent of it, isn't it? Your map reading. I'll tell you what, map readings, talking about being in the scouts and stuff, map readings become more of a thing than we ever thought it would be. Now you're never not on a map.
Everyone's
always checking their map, following their maps, looking around. That's
your
compasses,
aren't you?
Planning for that.
There's a little thing saying, you know, like when you're in the park and it's got a little thing that says you are here, it's always, you've always got that. So it doesn't really matter.
I'm just thinking about what are you going to do with kids? Like, you don't want to, you're trying to, you know, you might be dealing with people whose parents aren't going to give them a phone until they're 10 or something.
Sure.
So the compass is like it's like a youngster's iPhone, isn't it, in some ways? When we were kids, it had the same kind of razzle-dazzle.
True. Compass
you took
a
compass into a group of six-year-olds and they'd lose their fucking mind back in the day.
So true. Had no idea what it did.
The lessons where the compasses came out, the kind of clear, square plastic. Oh,
yeah.
It's like, yeah. Yes, something good's happening today.
What's a real mystery is to have two things that have very pivotal influence in your early years, both called Compass, and them being two different things is fucking insane. Like, how did they not rebrand one of them? Why would you possibly have a crossover? Back in the day, when we only ever had about 12 things.
It's yeah. true.
You know, there was only ever about 12 things in our day-to-day. For two of them to be called Compass,
yeah,
feels
call,
mad.
Call one of them the pointy circle drawer, call the other one the direction finder, just dispense with
and
the word
Compass.
And then retire
Compass.
Yeah, retire the word Compass. Just get rid of the word Compass. We don't need the word Compass.
In my head, the Compass was always... The one with the needle that you turn around for north, that's your OG Compass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your maths, the weapon Compass felt like it was just, I don't know what it was, lazy labelling or someone trying to hop on the Compass train. I don't know how it happened, to be honest.
Yeah.
What do you call that? A Compass?
I mean, they both revolve around the circular shape.
Yeah, but is that enough?
But apart from that, it's not enough, is it?
Yeah. You know, Protractor managed it.
Amen. Amen.
A fucking men, Clarky. finally somebody saying it.
So
I mean, all other circular things have managed it, really.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah, you can't just be...
You're not saying I'm eating my dinner off a compass. Yeah.
No, exactly. The fucking plates managed it. All the other ones managed it.
Yeah. Very sadly, I've left my compass on the hob. It's
a real shame. I'll tell you, even a fucking a sundial managed it. Sundials, that they could have easily fucking, you know, but they didn't.
Yeah, you feel like a sundial's got more claim to a compass than most other things, but no. But also, sundial, just it's a cool name. The sundials as well were very exciting.
Yeah. If I had a daughter, I'd call a sundial.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to advise my child, number 5 on the bits of advice.
Yeah.
When you go to school, take a directional compass with you. And if anyone ever says, get your compasses out, get it out, stare down your maths teacher and say, that's the fucking compass, mate.
Yeah. And then
draw a circle with that.
Take the other compass, the one that draws the circle, and get him in the neck with it.
And then just pay $2,000 in fines.
Yeah, but I think, $2,000 in bail, maybe.
You lose $2,000 a year to bail. That's what I always tell my kids.
It's a given. Don't worry about it.
Josh's father couldn't be with us that day, could he? Because he was behind bars, but he sent the advice. Very nice of him.
He sent a lovely reverse charges call to us on the day. I'll tell you very quickly what happened with me with the rubber.
Oh, yes. So
every step of the way, the builders have found stuff where they're like, we weren't expecting to find this when we took up this bit of wall or floor or whatever, you know, took up this bit of carpet. And the most recent one was they said, I've got to tell you, we've opened up some of the wires in your house, and the things you've got are they're illegal. And I said, right, it's like old wiring. And they went, yeah, it's quite old. It became illegal in the 1950s. So I've got a situation in my house where they basically there's some wiring that is like original to when the house was built, which is 1930s, and they just never changed it. And the reason they had to change the encasing of the wiring is because they used to encase wiring in rubber and it melts. And maybe that's our problem. Maybe that's why rubber hasn't cut through as the thing that you make everything out of, is that when your phone overheats, your casing's going to melt. Could that be it?
Oh, man.
This is the reason why you can't have a car or a plane for that matter. You can't have I think probably plane's not a great idea because like you don't want to do a landing and then take off immediately afterwards. You know, just forget about the plane. But the car... Certainly, maybe that's the reason, is the heat of the engine means that you're gonna you're going to drive, you know, it says it loses money as you drive off the forecourt. You lose quite a lot of money because you drive off and you'd be driving.
You just become a puddle.
Yeah, all of the inner machinations of a car through a big black puddle.
Well, you lose a car a year through stupidity. That's what they
say. You lose one rubber car a year due to stupidity.
Final lesson.
House meeting.
What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
And here we are. What a treat that was.
Lovely.
Yeah. Do you remember...
Tom, you're talking very slowly. Tom, the oxygen is... we recorded this intro, and the intro and the outro together, and I feel like, Tom, this is... Tom, you've got to conserve your short declarative sentences is what
I was trying
to
remember how far up the swimming badge chain I went.
Oh, right.
I think I got to gold, but I think there was one beyond gold.
There's like a platinum badge.
And I don't think I got there, basically, but I think I got to gold.
What was gold?
Gold was...
Swim half a mile.
Yeah, it's quite a
bit,
actually. You've got
to swim a mile, yeah. That's part of it.
Yeah, you got to do a lot of swimming. You got to do a lot of swimming in pyjamas, and you got to do a whole lot of treading water as well. You know, it's just the same, but more, basically.
Yeah, right. This time they incorporate the slippers and the dressing gown as well. Basically every time it was more and more items. You had to wear one of those wee willy winky caps, you had to have a candle on a plate, or other sort of bedtime accoutrement. Can you swim whilst also drinking a cup of Horlicks? It was that kind of thing.
Pick this weighted blanket off the bottom of the pool.
If you can spend a night under the weighted blanket at the bottom of the pool, you get the badge. The platinum badge, of course. If you do get the platinum badge, it does tend to, the second you hit the water, your trunks sink to the bottom. That's the problem. Getting out of the pool with a bare ass, and they're like, what have you done? Oh no, can someone swim to the bottom in their pajamas and get my platinum badge out from the bottom of the pool? Oh, we have a nice time anyway.
Next time we'll be seeing you at Latitude.
Yes, please.
And we'll hear from you before then, I'm sure. But otherwise, this episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.